Welcome to the Business Coach Podcast, an advice-oriented series that tackles the top issues and opportunities facing Canada's small businesses. I'm your host, Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, and we've developed this podcast in cooperation with BMO, Bank of Montreal. Now in its sixth season, Dragon's Den mixes business with game show with reality television in a show that's generated huge TV ratings for CBC Television, millions of dollars in equity financing for its contestants, and more than a few lessons in the area of raising capital. Ready to share some of those lessons is Sean Wise. Sean is a professor of entrepreneurship at Ryerson University and is the founder of Wise Mentor Capital, a Toronto-based financial consultancy. He is also a special advisor to Dragon's Den and has been working behind the scenes of the show since it launched in the fall of 2006. Sean joins me on the line from Toronto. Sean, welcome to the Business Coach Podcast.
Thanks, Ian. It's a pleasure to be back.
So for the three people in Canada who do not know what the show is, what is Dragon's Den?
Business reality show came to Canada 6 seasons ago. It's risen in popularity amongst the people. But basically, the show is about five multimillionaires listening to the business ideas of entrepreneurs from coast to coast to coast. Some of those entrepreneurs get the funding they need. Some of them feel the fire. That's basically Dragon's Den.
Now, those of us who have seen the show see the pitches as very compact and dramatic episodes that make for great television, and that, of course, is all thanks to the magic of editing. But when you're standing there in the studio, what do you see? What does the unadulterated investment pitch on Dragon's Den really look like?
Well, there are a number of myths about Dragon's Den, and one is definitely what you see on TV is real. So it is real. Those things all happen. But a normal pitch can last anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour to an hour and a half. Pitches usually start the CBC, you know, really early, like 5 a.m., and they end around 8 or 9, and they'll take 20 days in the spring. And consistently, you'll see 13, 14 pitches a day, and each one will take 45 minutes to an hour. Unfortunately, it's Dragon's Den, not Roots, the saga. So, you know, you have to show the compact version.
In the weeks and months leading up to the taping of Dragon's Den, there are auditions held in various cities across Canada, and hundreds, if not thousands, of people show up to those. How many of the people who actually audition make it to taping? And secondly, why are they chosen in favor of other people?
It really doesn't work like that. There's no ratio that we try to get. The producers who do such a great job. I mean, we started off doing like 8 cities, and now we're going to do probably 30 or 40. Now we have relationships with different First Nations, and we're really tapping into entrepreneurship at all parts of Canada. So really, the number of people that make it to taping is directly related to the number of people who show up, but the more that show up, the better. This show is all about deals and what it takes to get them done. And so the more deals, the better it is. You know, we'd like to get a deal or two per show, but really, the more deals, the better. So we want everyone to come out. You can get all that information at cbc.ca/dragonsden. There's a whole section, including tips that I give on how to get your pitch going. You can also look on YouTube under Elevator Pitch, and you can see how we recommend it's done. But we go across the country, and the more Canadians we see, the better the deals. I think that last year, we probably saw more than 9,000 people try out. In the end, you ended up with 20 or 22 shows, maybe, and each show had 10 people. So, I mean, you can do the math, but I think what's more important about it is the more we see, the better off it is. And we would really encourage everyone. I mean, I do very little on that part of the process these days, but the CBC is out on the road now and really wants people to come out and get it their best shot.
So give us a little bit more inside information here. What percentage of the deals that we see on the show, that are done on the show, actually transpire in real life? And when deals do fall through after the show, gets on air or is taped, why do those deals fall through?
I know that a number of years ago, the BBC version, one that's most famous of Dragon's Den, there was a very large article in the paper commenting on how many deals were on air, how many deals closed, and why they didn't close. And it got myself and the executive producer talking one day, and we realized we don't track that. So we only have the anecdotal evidence. But I would imagine maybe a third come to actual money changing hands. I would guess that the remaining two-thirds don't get done for one of two probably main reasons. Again, it's anecdotal, but one, another offer came along that sort of trumped the Dragons. One of the best things about being on TV and being on a show that's so widely watched is there's a lot of investors in the real world, you know, outside of the TV world, and they may call and say, I didn't like Kevin's deal. Do you want a better one? And so if the Dragons haven't closed between the time it tapes and the time it airs, you know, the CBC is about good entertainment and good information. They're not going to get in the way of a deal. So that kind of spurs the Dragons on to continue to close. And then the second reason is often in the heat of the moment, a pitcher or an entrepreneur may overstate or inflate a number or be perceived to have more than they have. So on due diligence, the deals fall apart. But I work in this field on a regular basis, and those are kind of all the reasons deals fall apart.
So let's get into some of the lessons from the show. What are the Dragons or any other sort of professional equity or angel investors looking for in an investment opportunity? What do you need to tell them about your business that gets them interested and gets them to hand over the cash?
Well, first and foremost, entrepreneurs need to understand how to give an elevator pitch, how to really get someone's interest. They don't realize that while they're pitching the Dragons, you know, this one time, the Dragons have already seen 100 pitches before you. So you need to be able to quickly and concisely state, you know, what problem you're solving, how is it you solve it. So if you were going to do it for Viagra, it would be people want to have sex longer than their bodies will allow. Our blue aspirin-sized tablet allows them to do so in a cost-effective, FDA-approved manner. So the Dragons really like that because it's in 3 seconds or less, it tells them that you're solving a big problem, which is something they want, big problems, big markets to sell to, and here's how your solution works. And is your solution really 10 times better? You know, email became so widely adopted because it was 10 times better than what we now call jokingly snail mail. If you have a product or a business that solves a big problem and does so in an exponential way, that's definitely something the Dragons want to see.
And it's important to know your numbers, correct?
Yeah. Jim Tree Living always says to us that being prepared isn't just for Boy Scouts. It's amazing. We publish on the website, and I have published elsewhere, lists of questions, the 14 questions investors will always ask. And you can Google them and see them. And we give them out in the green room. And when people come to auditions, we can show it to them. And still, they don't know the answers to some things. You know, what is your competitive advantage? How much does it cost you to produce the product? How many products would you have to sell to break even? Better yet, what are you going to do with my money? That's a question that always amazes me that people can't answer. People come on to Dragons and they say, hi, my name is Ian. I'm from Oshawa, and I'm selling this new mousetrap. And I want $20,000. Instead, they should be saying, hi, my name is Ian. I'm from Oshawa. I'm looking for a $20,000 investment, which will allow me to patent my brand new product. I already have people interested in licensing it, but without the patent, I'm concerned. So my name is Ian. I'm from Oshawa. I'm looking for $20,000 to patent my new invention, the Mousetrap 2.0. The little differences are you're telling them what you're going to do with the money. And even if you can, I'm going to patent over 3 months. Tell them how long it's going to take you to get there. When people just come in and they're asked, what are you going to do with the money? And all they can say is, it doesn't go well yet.
So tell me, what was the best pitch you've seen recently? And I know you can't divulge anything about any pitches that are on upcoming shows, but take us back to a pitch that you've seen recently that went really well and tell us what made it so good.
I'll go way back to one of my favorite pitches, all the way back from season one, Gelfast. Gelfast was three brothers who had a hand sanitizing device. It wasn't the chemical that was unique, it was the dispenser. And what basically they sold were hospitals, branded dispensers that nurses and nursing staff can hang around their neck as they go from patient to patient. Because currently, the ministry informs the nurses and the healthcare professionals that in between beds, they need to go back and clean their hands. But that's at the nursing station. So can you imagine, you know, a ward of 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 patients having to go back and forth 50 times? This doesn't seem like it's likely to happen. And that, unfortunately, is leading to infection. So while they're only selling a $2 piece of plastic, they're actually selling the chief financial officer of the hospital lower liability, lower insurance, the chief medical officer, better health care numbers, and the nurse, she doesn't have to walk back and forth, or he doesn't have to walk back and forth. So that little thing really sung. And I remember that pitch so well because they knew the problem they were solving. You could tangibly feel it. Imagine you're going to a hospital. You try to get your gallstones removed. And as a result, you know, you catch some kind of infection. It's not what we want with our healthcare system. And Gelfast allows them to help to address that problem. And it's stuck with me ever since.
Sean, speaking with you is always informative and entertaining. So thanks for joining the Business Coach Podcast to talk about Dragon's Den.
Thank you, Ian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sean Wise is a special advisor to Dragon's Den and a professor of entrepreneurship at Ryerson University. That's it for another episode of the Business Coach Podcast. Be sure to check out other episodes, which you can download from BMO.com, ProfitGuide.com, and iTunes. For other tools to help you build your business, visit BMO.com/coach. And until next time, I'm Ian Portsmouth, the editor of Profit Magazine, wishing you continued success.